we're still having some trouble getting the regular Chayvus Alvudas, which is over Lasoicher, for a shear, because they have usually two volumes and so on and so forth, and trying to find where the Chayvus Alvudas is in one volume, first of all, it's much cheaper, the two volumes are very expensive. And there is Chayvus Eshkol, printed many, many years ago, which is very appropriate for a shear, but none of the Meichus Forum have them in stock. One we found in Williamsburg that has 12 copies after making a lot of phone calls. So it may have to go as far as Hedges Roll to the shipment, then it may take another week. So we'll see. In the meantime, we made some copies of the Chayvus Alvudas we're using. Interesting thing is that, we always make a Chikla Gomer. The Chayvus Alvudas, Rabbeinu Bachaya, Rabbeinu Bachaya, as some say, basically, as we see, it's not a simple sefer at all. Yet, in the Hakdomah, he writes, and really, it's a sefer which is both for Gedolei Yisrael, and it's also for common people, it's for everyone. It was intended to be a Dibur HaShuva L'Chol Nefesh, and just quote you some of the words that he writes in the introduction. He says, in the Hakdomah, we don't have it here, he says, the Chayvus Alvudas, so that I might expect of myself always to know them. So Nagdomi writes Bikr, he wrote the Sefer, he wrote for himself. And others can look in at the same time, what he had written. But he writes in the Nagdomi that the main purpose that he wrote the Sefer is so he would always realize what he should be expecting of himself and bring myself, he says, to perform them. Then he writes also, it's a Sefer that would both, it would spur on those that are already observant, people are from already, it will spur them on to greater heights. And at the same time, it says, stir up people who are till now indifferent. So people who are indifferent, the meaning is that they need a service for tshuva, the Chayvus Alvudas is for them as well. So it's for people who are already Bala Madrega, the Chayvus Alvudas will elevate them even higher, will spur them on. And at the same time also, it'll be a service for people who are still far away or distant. The Sefer will help them, and it says, it'll show the way to people who are nevuchim, people who are perplexed. And he said, he wrote it to enlighten, he says, I wrote it to enlighten myself, as well as to stimulate the simple and the negligent, he said, of the people, he says, that share the faith of Torah and Mitzvahs. So he writes. The fact is, as we had already mentioned last week, that the Magid who was the mentor Magid, who was the mentor Malach, who came to Rabbi Yitzchak Karo, so he instructed him that basically he should read daily. You should read daily from the Chayvus Alvudas to the Beis Yosef. And he said the reason is to subdue the Yetzer Hara. The person wants to have a proper weapon to subdue the Yetzer Hara. So what he should do is study, he says, the Sefer Chayvus Alvudas, and to be able to overcome the power of the Yetzer Hara. Interesting also that the Arizal, the Ari HaKodesh himself, instructed his Talmidim on a daily basis, Yetzituk, that every day that in fact that they should be studying from the Sefer Chayvus Alvudas. It's interesting to point out, and let me just make a hakdomah, because I have here a tzavua. Now, it's important that you should realize, I say this many, many times throughout the years, and especially during the Shabbos morning shurim, which we try to cover the classical Mefarshim, going back either from yesteryear, hundreds of years, and up down to the contemporaries, that there are many Gedolei Yisrael that bishatum, and they were alive. They shook the world, and yet they did not have, if we like it a better word, the mazel or so on, that down the generations that the memory should be kept alive. And yet at the time there were literally Gedolei Yisrael, Asher Kol Beis Yisrael, Nisham Aleihem. The Klal Yisrael really were supported and leaning on them. One of those Gedolei were was an Odom Godel by the name of Rabbi Yonah Landsofer. Rabbi Yonah Landsofer is the Mechaber of the Shalos Yitshuvos Mil Tzedokah. Mil Tzedakah in Olam HaTorah, in Olam HaHaloch, in Olam HaPsak, is a very, very popular sefer. And Mil Tzedakah is brought down a lot in Hilchos Nidah. He's one of those who basically give us shiurim regarding the Gris, the very shiurim legabei Ksamim. In addition, also, he wrote a sefer Bnei Yoinah on the Haloch of the Sefer Torah. He wrote a sefer Kanfei Yoinah on Yeredeya. Rabbi Yoinah Landsofer, let me just tell you this. Rabbi Yoinah Landsofer was born in 1687. So he's still, before the 1700s, he didn't make it much over the 1700s. His whole life was 34 years old. And the Gedolei HaDor of his time would write upon him, Goyen Otzum Ishe Lekim Kodesh V'Noyim, Rabbi Yoinah Landsofer. Rabbi Yehuda Landsefer was the Talmud of Rabbi Avraham Breide. Rabbi Avraham Breide was the Rabban Shekol B'nei Agoyel of his time. He was such a Gadol Hador. First of all, he was also in Hamburg. And later on, he was in Frankfurt. His cave was in Frankfurt. Nobody knows where it is, because when the Matzevs were wiped out during the war, so there is no ceiling. But we know that this is in the old Beis HaChaim, where the Pnei Yeshua is there, where the Mosen Adler is there, where the Amram Schiff is there. All in the old Beis HaChaim in Frankfurt, Beis HaChaim HaYoshon, and that Rav Shams Kofol Hirsch. That's already the newer one. We're talking about the old Beis HaChaim. The Haflo is there, the Haflo's son, the Machna Levi is there, the Shev Yankiv is there, and so on. Leil Yisrael, Asher Mipiyah Manuchai. And Rav Avraham Breide, you know, was such a god on the cover of the Sefer Eish L'Avraham, that Rav Yerushan Eifshitz, who is the preeminent god of Ador at this time, who was not a direct Talmud of Rav Avraham Breide. Rav Yerushan Eifshitz was a Talmidei of Rav Avraham Breide, but he wanted to link himself up, interesting, to Rav Avraham Breide, so he would say, Anan mitalmid, we are from the Talmidim of Rav Avraham Breide. Gili was Mamish a Talmud of Rav Avraham Breide, which was not actually a direct Talmud. He was a Talmud of Rav Avraham Breide. In reality, Rav Yerushan was a Talmud of the Ponim Yiris, among others. But Rav Avraham Breide was the Rabban Shekol B'nei Agoyel, and Rav Yoina Landsefer was a Talmud of Rav Avraham Breide. He was Mechachme Prague. Rav Yoina Landsefer, he said, was Mechachme Prague. And we said his whole life, he wrote the Shas, he was Mezuk, his whole life was 34, 35 years old. That was, and he wrote that he did not, the Sefer was printed, he did not allow his name, because of his anivus, did not allow his name to appear on the Sefer. On the Shalos, the Chuvus Mil Sedok, was not allowed to be. And he writes in a place, he writes that, the Im Ezke, he says, the Ru'uyim Lohoirua, Efshish Lo'emna Mehem Apirsa, may be allowed to be printed on the Asmi, or he says, or from his children, he said, B'tanai, Sho'yizok HaShemi Aleh. The only way, I'm not even sure I'll allow to print the Sefer B'chlal, but if I feel okay, he said, but tonight, that my name should not be mentioned upon it. So many, many years, as I'm mentioning, no one knew who the Mechaber of the Sefer was. It was 100 years later. 100 years later, close to 100 years later, you know who was the Megala? The name of the Mechaber, the Native Yehuda. The Yehuda was Megala revealed who the Mechaber of the Sefer Me'il Tzedakah is. And in the Haskonah, it's coming, it was not Bechayov anymore. Me'il Tzedakah was long gone, as we said. But when the Sefer was printed, the Neid Guda writes as follows. Af shehelin hamchaber mereib in visinuso yeshemoi bagdomas ha-Sefer, av upikein leib chochom yaskil piu. Some of the chochom will be able to figure out, he says, umforsim im shemoi umachrezes olav sakoyel ala de yoyna. The bleth of the yoyna by the marble. Now each page of the Sefer, ala is also a page, ala. That's Alu de Yoyna. These are the bletlef, the pages of the Sefer that belong to Yoyna, Rabbi Yoyna Landsefer. What does the Neid Yehuda write about him? What's his opinion about him? He writes, the Nikar Li, says the Neid Yehuda, Shuchad min Chachme HaRishoyim. Look at this question. It was an acronym, way after. Shuchad min Chachme HaRishoyim, he says, Paneach Tzafoyno reveals all hidden secrets from Tzmuna. He writes, Rabbi Yoyna Landsefer, and so on. Just want to mention, interesting thing, regarding Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, realize we're going back hundreds of years. And I just have to quote you, he says something in the Sefer Mil Tzedakah Sim Chavov. This is Hagdomah to what I want to tell you about the Chavos Avodos, just to give a little background, we're talking about it. So he writes in the Mil Tzedakah Sim Chavov, he says, you want to be Oyel to Eretz Yisrael? Gevaldik. But Tzorek Betchila Tnai Echod. You know what that is? She Yesh Lo Imbokem Muchan Umezuman Li Yismotzele Panos Lebrevach. Don't go to Eretz Yisrael to rely on being supported by others. Especially in those days, it was very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. So the Mil Tzedakah, who the Neid Yehuda writes that he's Mechad Mikamoy, he says he's Mechad Min Chachme Rishoinim, writes fine. You want to go to Eretz Yisrael? Very good. But on whose chayv? He writes, B'tanai, he writes, Sheyesh loy mokim muchen and bezum liyes motzoloy panoseh. So this is Rabbi Yoyna Landsefer. So why am I mentioning it? Because in the tzvah that he wrote to his children, so he writes, among others, he writes like this. First of all, he says that to make sure that they learn, they should not have a week or 6 days should not go by without learning, he says, Halacha and Tosfos, he says. Al Yavar Shishi Yomim Li'i and Halochi B'Toysis. And when you're learning Toysis, he says, Yavoid Gamkem B'Digduk, I have to say this again because it's such a beautiful thing he says. Yavoid Gamkem B'Digduk Rav Al Pirish Hagoyin Rav Shmuel Idlis, that's the Marsho. Make sure that you learn the Toysis of the Marsho. He says, Uperusho Elabad, it's only his parish, Yuchel Aheir Einei Ho'odom B'Toyrit. Called Manshu Marich Lamoid Aloy Mekaloch. If you're going to put in the time, Kidvar Hem Bekitzer, the Meshor will Bekitzer, Muflegi Be'oimik, La Amitius, he says, Ruach Elikim Dibroboy. Look what he writes. So Yoyda Lassov says that the Mashah had Ruach Elikim Dibroboy, the Spirit of Hashem, Kimabalate Hasogas Ruach HaKoidish, I Epshe Shiasa Odom Sefer B'doy Malazah. Without Ruach HaKoidish, what Rabbi Yoyda Lassov, one cannot be Mechaber Sefer such as the Mashah. And then he says, also learn Marshal. He said, Shloime Luria. He said, then his, a lot of his things he says need Iyun because there are a lot of difficult things, there's questions. Trichen Iyun Godel. But he says, nevertheless, Perusha Meirin Kasafirin. They enlighten you like sapphire stones and so on. Then he talks about Shach and so on and so forth. By the way, he writes about Sefer Magen Avraham. When you're learning, says Shulchan Aruch, make sure you learn Sefer Magen Avraham. Avuhu Nitzfas Betois, Betzor Beer. Magen Avraham is very difficult to learn. Betzor Beer, Betzas Mekoimis. My opinion, Allah like the Magavrom wherever he passes. And this is an opinion of Rabbi Yonan. Anyway, what's it negate to us? With this, he says in Sif Lamed Gimel of his Svor. In Sif Lamed Gimel. V'tzurech u'udam, he says, lehidobek ma'oid b'sefer chayves avos. A person has to be connected. A person should be connected, he should be medabek himself. With the Sefer Chayves Avodas, Hashem Hem Yikach Pnimius Amidois Amuvchorim Lavidus Hashem Baruch Hu. Baruch Shemoy. So in the Chayves Avodas, you're going to be able to glean out, to take the Midas Amuvchors, the Midas, the chosen Midas, the perfect Midas, to Avodas Hashem. And what he says about how you learn Chayves Avodas? Listen to what he says. Rabbi Yoyin Alamsoy. V'tzorech Lahamik Boy, you have to learn it more in depth. Yoyser, more than what? So Rahami Boy Yosef Memashiyamik Belimud Negoim Baholis. Negoim Baholis, the Shvech Chalokim in Torah, is a value you have to learn with Amkes. If you're a Savovis, you should be Ma'amik yourself more than Negoim Baholis. Negoim Pinimusim, because there's so much Pinimus, the Dakusam, and he says, Vedai Bidvorim Hail, he says, it is Torah, regarding Chalokim Savovis. So that certainly helps us. Just a Gaburche, that there's a sefer called Chutam Shulish. The sefer Chutam Shulish was written by Shlomo Sefer. Shlomo Sefer was the son of the Ksav Sefer. Which means he was the ninth of the Ksav Sefer. He himself was an Odom Gordon's son, right? He was a Ruv in Berg Stas. With Berg Stas, the Ruv he was, a Galdigabal Tzir, also a big Galdigabal Hadras Bonim he had. So he wrote, being the ninth of the Ksav Sefer, so he wrote a lot about the Ksav Sefer, about his grandfather. So one of the Mekoimis, he writes the sefer Chutam Shulish, he says, that the Gabbadi Der Halimut and the Yeshiva, the Chsam Sofer, Reishis Chochma Yiris Hashem. So before you learn Torah, you need Yirshamayim. Reishis Chochma, what's before Chochma? Yiris Hashem. Alkein, he says, Lumad Lifneim, Koidin Kol Shir, Chsam Sofer, learn in front of the Talmidim, before every Shir, Kamoy Reva Shoah, quarter of an hour, and say for Choyvis Alduvis, Kedei Lahalhiv Levodom Yiris Hashem. In order to flame their hearts, to warm their hearts, to bring them closer to Yerushalayim. And he brings down that some Sofer said to his son, to the Ksav Sofer, he says, Davini, he says, Lo yirak l'tzerech halimut zok yikodom l'rebbe l'gam Yerushalayim. It's not just for Torah you need a Rebbe, you need a Rebbe also for Yerushalayim. So, a Rebbe Yerushalayim, a Rebbeim of the Svarim, these are also our Rebbeim of other. Some Sofer, he himself was the Rebbe alive also, but he was teaching Chavis Avodas, maybe having some Sofer, how he taught the Chavis Avodas. And he says, "Lehiniach milulmoid." He says he did not. He didn't skip. He went keseder keseder, and he said, "Kemat kol musaro b'hanhugoyis of the chsam sofer hoyim medivre sefer kodesh hazeh." Yachin chofet she tamidim yasku boy. He also wanted the tamidim should be oisik b'mei bachrusom, as they're growing up, developing leman yikvel uhem derech eretz b'avodas Hashem yitbarach. He says, he points out. So again, as we see, it cannot be overstated. He said, of course, to have some schus to be able to learn a little bit of the Sefer Chayves Avodas. So before we start again, we have here a sheet that was given over. Let me just mention that He said, "Rabbi Yehuda, I rather heard it to someone who was a Talmud of Rebbe Elul Brisker. The Brisker Rebbe had a koil. A koil mitzumtzum, very small. What you have today, you know, the yeshiva Brisk, this is not Rebbe Elul. Rebbe had a minyan mitzumtzum or a small amount of Talmidim, select Talmidim in whom he taught personally. The way Rebbe Elul taught, of course. And so he had the Yungalite in the koil, and of course he always had problems. There was always, as they say, there was more month than money left. So there was always a problem. He came to pay the koil Yungalite. He used to pay them Erev Shchodesh, every Erev Shchodesh. So in a particular Erev Shchodesh, again he found himself short, but he always made sure to try to do whatever is possible to pay on time. So somebody sat next to him. And somebody said, "Oh yeah, gevaldig, how gevaldig would it be if somebody would just come now and give the rabbis of the $250,000? Wouldn't it be gevaldig to have enough money from Stam to pay the Yungalite for a few years without a worry?" And the Briskrov said, "If someone would offer me," and only the Briskrov could say this, "but offering $250,000 for the koilos, I would not take it. I will not sell my middis habitofen for $250,000. In other words, every time he's in trouble, he uses middis habitofen. He's going to have the $250,000, the talking goes out the window. Doesn't mean it, he has the money. I will not sell my middis habitofen for $250,000. Now, I'd rather be in trouble. You use my middis habitofen to help me out and work for him." And that's what the Briskrov said. "I would not take the money. I don't sell the middis habitofen for any amount of money." Okay, let's take a look at what I said, because we were a little bit behind, but we added something a little bit. I should put the sheet first before we'll go to the Chodesh of Odis. And we're going to take a look. Again, take a look here. You see first the first item we have here, which is from the Sefer Amunim, we're talking from the Ramban. The point that Ramban is making over here, that we're talking and Amunim are not one and the same. Ramban's point in the Kudi is that Bitochen about and about needs emunah, but not necessarily someone who is a mammon has bitochen. It doesn't work in both ways. It goes in one direction. And Rabban says, and so here is the words, who emunah about bitochen is a mishnei inyon. One needs the other, but the other doesn't need the other. Which means, shemunah koidemus to bitochen. In other words, it's impossible to be about bitochen that trust in Hashem if you don't have faith in Hashem. If you don't believe truly in Hashem fully. So bitochen cannot be without emunah. So emunah koydemus to bitochen, emunah is the introduction to bitochen, umiskayemus belev ha-maimim. Afal pi she'ein ha-bitochen imo. It's possible to have emunah and you don't yet have full trust in Hashem. Ve'nesvich aloy b'kiyumo. Not to have emunah, it's not a precondition, yes, I have to have bitochen. You can have emunah, but yes, you don't have bitochen. Lefichach, he says, Eino moire olov. Therefore, eino moire olov means if someone is a mammon, does not necessarily mean that he's a baal b'tochen. However, if someone's a baal b'tochen, he has to be a mammon. If you see someone who is a baal b'tochen, who has trust in Hashem, and you see he relies on Hashem, you know for sure he's a mammon. But if someone is a mammon, does not necessarily mean he's a baal b'tochen. Al habitochen hu moire olov. B'tochen proves amuna. But amuna does not prove, is not moire, does not teach us, does not necessarily reflection, he says, on bitochen. She actually leaves koydomo. He says you can't have bitochen without emunah. Well, he's going below there. The chol avoytayach is ikra maimon. That's for sure. If you're avoytayach, then you have to be a maimon. You have to be a believer. Ach loy kol hamamin ikra b'tayach. But not necessarily every believer is a b'tayach. And he puts the very interesting analogy: the relationship between emunah, which is faith, and bitochen, which is trust, are ki emunah kemoi ilon v'bitochen kemoi apri. Emunah is like the tree, and bitochen is like the fruit. The fruit needs the tree, but not every tree has fruit. So if you see a fruit, you know for sure there was a tree. There had to be a tree. But if you see a tree, does not necessarily mean that there are fruit growing on the tree. That's the relationship, says the Ramban, between emunah and bitochen. Emunah is the ilon, emunah is the tree, and bitochen, he says, is the tree. Va'afri lo'ois al ilon. If you see a fruit, that certainly is a simon, that's a sign that there is a tree. Or al esef shegilos a tree, or whatever type of grass that produced that fruit. That the berry, the fruit. But the ein o ilan o yo esef lois al a tree. But just because you have a tree, or you have esef, you have some grass, some vegetation, doesn't mean that necessarily that there is pears growing out of it. Ki eshi lo me shena moisim tree. The fact is we know there are many trees that are not fruit-bearing trees. So just for the mere fact that you have a tree does not necessarily mean that there is fruit. V'chein asov v'mhavet. So many grasses that don't produce berries or fruit. Aval ein pri v'lo yilin ha'yesef. But certainly, if you have a fruit, then you know there has to be, which gave out, which produced the fruit, which has to be the tree or the yesef. And Ramban says, ulufi, and therefore, she'eino min ha'muchrech liyos kol ha'manin b'tayach. B, that it doesn't have to be, again, it's not necessarily so that imam in that someone who is a believer has bitochen. Aval hu efshe. It's possible, sir. But b'chola b'tayach ma'amin b'loy sofik. But the other side definitely is true. That whoever is a Baal B'tochen, whoever has trust in Hashem, has to be a Ma'amin. So Ma'amin behooves a Muna. A Muna not necessarily behooves B'tochen. So being that B'tochen behooves a Muna, that's where we find the Torah talks more about B'tochen than a Muna. A Muna, where does the Torah talk about a Muna? Noich Hashem L'kefer, one place or so. But in terms of B'tochen, trusting in Hashem, we have Shemitah and so on and so forth. So many Pesukims we'll see later, the Rishonim bring down. But the Torah talks about trusting Hashem, relying on Hashem, and so on. So Rabban, why? Why do we find more references in the Torah? Why do we find more references regarding B'tochen than a Muna? Because the Muna not necessarily behooves B'tochen, but B'tochen is kind of everything. If you have B'tochen, it certainly guarantees that you have to be a Ma'amin. And you can see Rabbi Yisai in our own lives. We would like to believe Muna. We would like to believe Rabbi Yisai that we are Ma'amin and we believe in Hashem. That's key, you don't believe in Hashem. But if you're Chadishom and Eshtore, is our B'tochen really that strong? We'll say, no, it's not. Cholil, if we have Panosa problems, if you have Refuah problems, we say, oh, I trust in Hashem. That's a Poshim. So what do you see? But we are Ma'aminim. Yeah, you said, so you see, we're not all wise. You could be a Ma'amin, no, Chad V'Shalom, you could deny Hashem, but when the push comes to shove, when we're put to the test, is our B'tochen so strong? Do we not sometimes fall apart? And we're very, very doubtful what the outcome is going to be and so on and so forth? So we see B'Ferit, you could be a Ma'amin B'Hashem, but B'tochen B'Hashem is Lav Davke. Lav Davke follows. But if you are a B'tei of Hashem, then certainly that you are a Baal Amunah, that you have to have Amunah. So that's the Nikudah that Ramban points out in Sefer Amunah B'tochen. But I'd like to point out here is what we have here, the second item, from a Sefer called Hamas Pigleid Hashem, what makes it so kosher, this is Rav Avrom ben Arambam. Rav Avrom ben Arambam, Rambam's son, Rav Avrom, devoted a lot to the topic of B'tochen. And among many other things, from time to time we're going to bring him. Rav Avrom ben Arambam says as follows, Habitochen Hashem Yisalav Yisborach Shemoi, trusting in Hashem, he says, Hu Achas Hamidois Hatrubiois, is one of the outstanding midos. Batilu Yisoid Mi Yisoidus HaTorah. It's actually a ground foundation. It's a Yisoid Mi Yisoidus HaTorah. It's a foundation. It's not a luxury midah, or a nice midah, or an admirable midah, or a praiseworthy midah. It's fundamental. And therefore, being that it's so fundamental, in other words, we find regarding Tariq mitzvahs, there's machlokes and the difference of opinion, which mitzvahs are included in the Tariq mitzvahs. Is it or not? Regarding B'tochen, nobody argues that in fact how important B'tochen is. Why? Because this is echot mi yisoyde, yisoyde mi yisoyde. And he says, B'tochen is interesting, he says. Many people talk about it, but few people really possess it. In other words, the shogir is very frequent. Who doesn't talk about B'tochen? You have to have B'tochen. We should have B'tochen. We should work on our B'tochen. B'tochen is an item. It's an item on the table. So it's shogir b'fi koil. But who has it? It's only planted in the hearts of Yechidus Gula. To say that it's planted within themselves, that they actually possess it, that's Yechidus Gula. Then they have to work on that midah to be able to acquire that. He says, Sifre Hanaviyim Meleim, he says, are filled Upsuke Atoyim Meleim Olam. The Dayenu, he says, it's enough in Naskiris Mamoro, he's just mentioning the posting in the Boran. Ki Alkol Moitzo Pi Hashem Yichayodah. Ki Eloi Alo Lecha Mavada Yichayodah, the posting says. But Ki Alkol Moitzo Pi Hashem, so in other words, your survival is based upon Moitzo Pi Hashem. What does that mean? It means that whatever comes across in your life, if you find yourself in a matzav of danger, in a matzav of sakona, who is the one? Who is the one on whose koyach and whose power and whose amhogi gives you life? Al kovoyse pi Hashem. Because brother says it, yes, it'll be yes. Kol ilah nation. Then something else, whatever the situation is. Kal kovoyse pi Hashem yichiyon. It's based upon what comes out of Hashem's mouth. Meaning, whatever I could brother is going to, that's going to happen. The Gami says, Sivuya yisala kodish barfu. He says, we'll command it. The Himonah, we find Mizriya Ukitsir Allah Hafkir as Yibo when it comes to the 7th year, which is the year of Shemitah. But the mitzvah is in Eretz Yisrael to leave the land fallow, not to be Zareya, not to be Chayrish. It's a tremendous Nisoyim. Bishon HaShviz, Bishnat HaYoyvel. What's it based on? What is that mitzvah based on? The mitzvah is based on Mushtis, means it is grounded al Yisoyid HaBetuchim U'mefurish B'loshin HaTorah. You can see that this is the notion, the Torah actually expresses it B'Ferish, because the Torah even says you may raise the question, B'Yisoyim Roman Oichel Bishon HaShviz. You may ask the question, what are we going to eat in the seventh year? Heimu in Nizra. After all, we didn't sow, we didn't plant. But in essence, we're saying we cannot gather into it. It's the Mises Rechosi. What's that? In other words, don't ask the question. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. It's the Mises Rechosi. That is Bitochen and so on. And then he goes on to say further that, again, Bitochen actually complements Amunah. In other words, it's the Spitz. It's the Spitz of Amunah. Because it sounds like the Ramban mentioned before. Because you can be a mom and not be a betayach. But if you have trust in Hashem, then certainly it's mechazik emunah even more. You're even greater. It's an enhancer on the emunah. That's what he says the lotion. If you grab it talking to chizik emunah. Because if you have it talking to Nabada, you have emunah on a higher level. Because you can be a mom and without it talking, but then you're a mom and on a lower level. So the grab it talking, it says, is chizik emunah and so on. Oy bazoy, let's take a look. Rabbi Yisrael Rabbeinu Yoyne, the number three. Let's take a look. Rabbeinu Yoyne says, Shalem is habitochen, he says, you know what it means? To be a complete Baal Mitochen. Shalem is habitochen, to be a complete personal prophet in Hashem. Sheyiftach odo b'Hashem, that a person should be a b'teyach b'Hashem, v'lo yiftach b'yodo. We can see that this point is in the Kudah that the Chavos of others is very, very strong about. A person should not trust, should not place his trust in mankind. Yes, mankind may be shluchim, mankind may be messengers, mankind may be vehicles. But his trust is not in mankind. His trust is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't put your trust, this person is going to help me. This is where the source of my Yeshua comes from. Shalem is HaBitochen Sheyiftach Odo B'Hashem LeYiftach B'Yodo. We say in the Davening also, say, Al-Tittachu Ben Divin. The Ben Odom Sheyem Lechua, a person who cannot really help you, which is people. Al-Tittachu Ben Divin, do not rely on and trust them. Trust in the demon. Put your trust in the demon. But that Odom Shalai Shul. But Ben Shapiro used to say many times, he found that after he went, left the money for the yeshiva, whether it was your side, it was just a few days ago. But Ben Shapiro, he had all kinds of people. He found out that not necessarily the Nadvodim, the people, the donors, not necessarily the donors are those who have a lot of money. He found that sometimes people really who are really collecting dollar for dollar, they are the generous people. They are the ones who are Magid Victorious. He used to say like this. Al-Tiftachu bin Divin. Don't place a trust in the Divin. Where are you in the Divin? The Divin, you think about people, you know, philanthropists. Al-Tiftachu bin Divin. But then all them, she'ain loy Tishua. Tishua comes from people who don't have anything. But they come. You think that the big philanthropist and the Divin, they're the only big Divin. You place a trust in them. He said, no. Al-Tiftachu bin Divin. Don't place a trust in the Divin. Oh, they have a lot of money. There's nothing can help me. But then all them, she'ain loy Tishua. Tishua may come for Dafka, someone doesn't have much. And we see that. All right. So first you should realize, when you say don't place your trust in man, it does not only mean don't trust others. You don't trust yourself either. My chokhmah, it's my gvura, it's my power, it's my ingenuity. He says, first you should not place his trust in his own power, and don't place your trust in your seichel. And your understanding. Ba'al Omar, therefore, the Potik says in Mishle, B'tachel Hashem b'chol libcho, trust Hashem, and what should you not do? You should trust Hashem. What should you not do? Vel binoscho al tishon, don't rely on your chokhmah. He says, Rabbi Yoyna also wants to explain, interesting, don't rely on your chokhmah. It also should mean, don't rely on your chokhmah and don't rely on your ashiris. Don't rely on your power. Let's say you're a very influential person. Why is the pasuk only say don't rely on your chokhmah? What about other artificial? What are artificial abilities? Ben Yoyne says because all artificial abilities. Let's say somebody's rich. What makes him rely on his ashiris is also his chokhmah. When he's chokhmah, he thinks and he believes that his ashiris can help him. So ultimately, where does it all end? It all stems from bina. All the other artificial sources that we also want him not to do, we don't have to mention the Proteus. Once I told you don't rely on your Chokhmah, that Mamil includes all the other artificial sources, as he says right here. He says, first of all, being that a lot of people, first of all, are want to rely on their understanding, on their habona. That's one thing. First of all, it's more common that people utilize. The first thing is, how do I see it? Ah, I see it this way. It must be this way. So the Torah, therefore, first of all, points out the pasuk in Mishlei, El Binos Chatishon. That's the most common thing. But then he says the other thing. Bashemis. The second reason why the pasuk points out, don't rely on your Bino. What about Ashiris? What about your Gevura? Why is it not mentioned? I'll tell you why. Kabitochen bibina kol ha'oisa. Because when a person really relies on his chokhmah, it may mainly include the other things as well. Why? The only reason why a person would want to rely on Ashiris and on Gevura and not on other things, because the Sefer tells them this is a good place to rely on. So ultimately, whatever artificial source you want to rely on is because your Sefer tells you it's a good thing. Comes the Pesuk says, don't rely on yourself. Rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is the Koil, the source. The Bina really, ultimately, it all comes down to the Bina, to the source of a person's Havonim, he says. Okay, here's the Yom HaLev, the Pesuk says, El Binoscha, Al Tishon, he says. And then he goes further. Look what he says. Vo'inyin kasher yir lecho v'sich lecho u'tvunoscha, he says. When your Seichel and your Havonim tells you something. Let's say your Seichel tells you, this is a good place to invest, Moshe. Your Sefer tells you this is a good place to invest. He says, Ki amasa shetase yatzliach. He says, Al derech e atzas libcho v'tagbulez ashetakshu. Al tiftach al zeh. Yet you can try it, but don't place your trust in it, he says. Ki hako tol v'de shemaim. In other words, whether in fact it ends up, you're going to be matzliach over there, it's hako v'de shemaim, he says. Shenema, because the posik says clearly, we know that posik, in the sugi of kamsa bar kamsa. Yishayanov, he says, Meshiv chachomim ocher v'datoim yisakel. Because the Yisrael takes the chachomim, and what does he do with it? Meshiv chachomim ocher. The Yisrael takes the chachom of the chachomim. Ocher means he makes it retreat. And it says v'datoim, and he makes their knowledge yisakel. He's foolish. So it means you can be the greatest chachom in the world. Because Yisrael wants you to slip, you're going to slip. Chachom is not going to help you. Whatever you try is not going to help you. Bring another posik. Rabbis Machshavis Belevish, we know that posik. Person thinks many, many things, many, many Machshavis. At the end of the day, Tatat Hashem, Yisoku. So another Tatat Hashem, Yisoku. And then we have, Im Hashem lo yivne bayis, another posik in Tehillim. If Hashem will not build the Beis Hamikdash, Shav omlu boi na boi. In other words, it's in vain to try to toil in it. It's not going to work. You may try. If Hashem does not want it, it's not going to happen. V'nemar ki kol masei no hevel. Whatever you do ends up to be nothing. V'nemar says a posik ki loy le kalim hameirut. It's a very interesting posik. It's a posik in Kehelet. So Melo says, what does the posik mean? What does these words mean? Ki loy le kalim hameirut. So Melo says, ki loy le kalim hameirut means the race is not won by those who are swift. Ki loy le kalim. Kalim means those are easy on the feet. Meirutz is, right? They have the run, they have the rest, the race. That's the Meirutz. So Shlomo HaMelech, Kiloy LeKalim HaMeirutz. The Meirutz, which is the race. It's not won by the Kalim, those who are dafki easy on the feet. Yes, this is the way it appears to us, but at the end of the day is Kiloy LeKalim HaMeirutz. This is all orchestrated in the Shemai. And then the Nemar finally says, La'odam Archilev U'Mashem Anilosin. Which means to say is that man, his thoughts belong to him. But Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one who really dictates what comes out of his tongue. It says, Mashem Maneloshin. So you can think a lot of things, but at the end of the day, what comes out of your mouth, Mashem Maneloshin. Dictated by Kodesh Baruch Hu and so on. And therefore, these are the Nekudas. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, let's go here to Perik Aleph, as we have here in the Kodesh Avodas. This said, Perik Rishon. Let me point out here. You see, he starts with the first words. What the Chodesh Avon is here is trying to say, this Perik Aleph is not very long, as you can see. It's quite short, as a matter of fact. In this Perik Aleph, what he intends to point out is as follows. But talking by Hashem, the definition, what does it mean trusting Hashem? What does it mean trusting Hashem? He says, trusting Hashem is, first of all, it means complete trust in Hashem. But it means trusting Hashem means A, that a person really believes and knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware what is the emet d'ketoyve for a person. No one really knows for himself what's really good. People are responsible for a lot of things. But many, many times they don't realize that they are their worst enemy. We don't always know what's good for us. A person thinks if he moves to the next town, it could be a disaster. People plan things, people try things, people wish for things. And yet, when they get it, Chas v'Shalom, it's detrimental to them. Because Yehoshua is the one who really knows. There is a certain Rebbe, an Adam Godel, that Yid comes in for a brocha. Let's say he's entering a new business. And he wants a brocha very common. Yid goes to a Rebbe for a brocha. You're entering a new business, give him a brocha. So the Rebbe says, I don't know who it was, the Rebbe says to him, if it's good for you, you should be matzliach. This is the logic. To tell you should be matzliach, who knows, maybe it's not really good for you to be matzliach in this. It may turn out to be bad for you. But the lotion of the Rebbe's brocha is, if it's good for you, you should be matzliach. Interesting thing is, reminds me with the Haflor, when said pshat, he said, Shoyim Hashem is kolei havos, koshom yashmit. And then it says, Shoyim Hashem is kolei havos, koshom tuz Hashem yidabepi. The Baltic says a little bit before that, the Tzoyin Reb Yasin, which says, so therefore a person wants a Kodesh Baruch Hu should give him everything that he needs. Tzadik Hashem, B'chol Drocha, B'chol Chomaso, the Tzoyin Reb Yasin, Kodesh Baruch Hu does the Rotsim of V'Shavosim Yishveshiyim. He says, HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Abad and Abad, does not want to disappoint Tzadikim. So Tzadik, let's say, who is he going to answer if not to a Tzadik? If it's Tzadik, the Tzadik petitions of Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he says, I need this and this. He thinks he needs this and this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'maisa, he knows it's not such a good thing. This is what the Flo says, Rebbe Chassam Sofer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows it's not such a good thing. But the Tzadik wants it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want to disappoint him. So what does he do? He gives it to him. Now what happens? It turns out, Chas v'Shalom, very, very negative. This is what happens now. Now the Tzadik cries again, why should you take it away from me? So he listens to him again. When the Tzadik asks for it, Kodesh Baruch Hu is not good for him, but the Tzadik wants it. He's not going to get it and feel disappointed. Because Kodesh Baruch Hu gives it to him. Kodesh Baruch Hu knows what's going to happen is that later on, the Tzadik sees it's not really his toive, he's going to be misfouled, take it away from me. He's going to listen to him again. So he's up shortly this. Ritzoyen Yireyov Yase. Veshavosam. And then when they cry again, Yishma V'Yashim, also again. In other words, the point of claim would be if Kodesh Baruch Hu knows it's not good, he shouldn't give it to you to begin with. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want to disappoint the Tzadik. Ritzoyen Yireyov Yase. The Yireyim. The Yireim have a rotzen for something. So Hashem does and complies. It's not good for him. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, okay, so we'll be misspelled again. Take it away, change it. So I'll listen to him then. I'll take it away. I he asked for it, I'm not going to hold it against him. Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Tzadik wants it, I'll give it. He doesn't want to take it away. It's so Yireim, he has it. Then Shavosa, when he cries out, Shavosa, rotzen means when he thought it was good. That was the return to it. The Shavosa is crying out, Moshon. Yishuv of Yishim is going to help him again. So the Inyan of Amunah, the Chayus Avov, is basically, what he points out is that a person believes that Hashem knows what's good for him. A person doesn't know that. By the way, many times you say, Yemal Hashem kol mishalas libeinu l'toiv. You know what that means? Why is it l'toiv? Yemal Hashem kol mishalas libeinu, not such a good thing. It's not such a good thing. But l'toiv. So you see, it has been incorporated even the two. Because a person really is the only one who knows the long term, the long term, the cause and effect of something that you get and how it's going to hurt you, how it's going to deal with you. So a person, in order to have a munah, means betochen, means that he knows that Kodesh Baruch Hu knows what is the emes d'ketoyve. There's a lot of artificial tigers. People think they are good, but that's not the emes d'ketoyve. Person knows that Kodesh Baruch Hu knows what the emes d'ketoyve. That's number one. Number two, in addition to knowing. A person is about bitochen. In addition to knowing that Hashem knows what's good for him, he also knows that Hashem has the yicholus to give it to him. Because if Hashem would not have the yicholus, would not have the power to give it to him, what's the point in trusting him? So, first of all, a person who is about bitochen, chayus avov is posits in this perek aleph coming up, that a person knows that Hashem is aware clearly every prat, what's the end is good for him or not. And in addition to that, that Hashem knows what's good for him, Hashem has the yicholus to give it to him. He has the power to give it to him. The third thing, he says, that Hashem what I can only do, if he trusts in Peter Hashem, then Hashem will take only do that which is his toiva be'emes. Number four, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills what he promises. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills what he promises. And the fifth thing is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is native a person, even things that were never promised, b'toiras chesed, b'toiras nedivus, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is filled with chesed, so he will bestow on the person many times, even that which sometimes he may not even be deserving, and it's not promised to him. That's called b'tochen hashlemus, and let's find out and see these items that we mentioned now here in Perek Aleph. So he says, He says, Mahus ha-bitochen. He says, what is the essence of bitochen? Mahus means, it's the essence. What the essence of bitochen means, imenuchas nefesh ha-bitayach, which means that the person who trusts, that the person who trusts in someone, of course it means Hashem, but at this point he just wants to draw, because the Rebbe is not even talking, Davke, he's going to say later, of course it means because he broke, but if you want to trust in someone, here are the things that the trustee, the one that you are trusting in, should possess. If you want to trust in someone, so number one, he says, you should have menuchas hanefesh, that your trust is so firm that by trusting in that one, you're quite comfortable already. You're comforted. You're comforted in knowing that what you can rely on the one that you are trusting. That's mahus habitochen. V'shehi alibo yisomuch, and his heart should feel right, reliable, al misha b'teichol, on the person that he is right relying on. Sheyasa hatoy v'anochemoy v'inyina sheyiftach olof. He should also, when he trusts in someone, and of course it means truly HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but whoever you're going to trust, should realize that the person is going to do a toiva that's really sheyasa hatoiva nochan loy. In other words, you notice everywhere in the Chayav Sofas Medui, many things that are good for one is not necessarily good for somebody else. The Baal Bitochen who trusts in someone who's going to do him a toiva, he's going to do a toiva that's good for him, not what's toiva by somebody else's standard, or what's considered toiva by the other person, by the one who's doing it. It has to be toiva by the recipient's standard. By the recipient's standard, it has to be toiva. That the lotion is that he trusts the person, shiyasa hatoiva hanochoin loy, the inyana sheyiftacholo, right? Again, shiyasa hatoiva hanochoin loy, right? That he will do the inyan that's toiva hanochoin loy. So I meant when I say what's good for him, it's again here, it is the Sefer Talal Yoyres brings down in Parshas Kedoshim. Within Parshas Kedoshim, Ligabi, you know, Lifneiver Loisitein Michshol. We all know that Chazal came and interpreted Lifneiver Loisitein Michshol, literally meaning in front of a blind man, don't put a stumbling block. It's your trip. So Chazal say that Lifneiver Loisitein Michshol, right, is referring to a halacha that you should not be Michshol someone in a nisa. It means if someone, by giving stuff, you know someone, right, who is prone to do an iser, don't feed him non-kosher food if you know that he's someone who's going to eat it. Don't give a kosher yayin to a nozer who might be prone to drink it. Nozer not to drink wine. No, don't abate, don't assist. Don't assist. That's what the evil asit mishul. Included in the evil asit mishul, what does Rashi say? Eitzah she'eino ho'igenis. Somebody asks you for advice. Somebody asks you for advice, and you are in the gay bedover, and you don't want the person to do. So you might give him the wrong advice. You're even allowed in the Torah. With Neivel is it a mitzvah? The person's blind. He does not know if it's good or not. He's coming to ask you advice. You're mechuyek to give him the appropriate advice to the best of your knowledge. But Neivel is it a mitzvah? You're not allowed to give someone an eitz sheino hagenis. Said that one of the rabbonim once came to Rav Elbel Brisker and said to him as follows. He knows that a particular moisid who has a lot of difficulty, and that they need the right person to spearhead the Moshe to be able to save the Moshe. The Moshe fell into a lot of trouble. So, one of the Rabbanim came from Babel, he says that they know that a particular person, the job was proposed to a particular person as a potential candidate to take the job to be Mantel the Yeshiva. And this Rav heard that the candidate is going to come ask advice from the Brisker Rav whether to take the job or not. So this Rav, again, is coming to the Brisker Rav behind the scenes. He says, this so-and-so, plenty of employee, the candidate is going to come. The yeshiva needs him. The yeshiva feels that he can really save the yeshiva. So the Rav asked, this Rav asked the Brisker Rav, he's going to come ask you, Nitzel. Encourage him to take the job. Encourage him, because it's partial hatzolas ha-yeshiva. The Brisker Rav said like this. The truth is, when the person comes to ask me advice whether he should take the job, he's going to ask me if it's a good job for him. If the yeshiva comes to ask me to hire that person, he's a good person for the yeshiva. But if he comes to ask me, he says, I will have to tell him it's not good for him. Because if I say that I should take the job, it's good for the yeshiva, but it's not good for him, I'll be able to say to Mitchell. So, if you want him to take the job, make sure it does not come past. So, in other words, you have to find out if it's really tight. Is it really tight for you? So that could be the union that what the Kohen Salvov says here is being medayik in his lotion. That you trust the person, Shiyasa Hatoi Vanochen Loi, the union, he says, Ashayif Takolo. He says, in the union, in the manner of which you are trusting him. He'll do it to the extent of his fullest extent of his abilities. That trust, that the person will do it, Kifi Yecholtoi Vedatoi, according to the maximum of his Yecholtoi, of his abilities, Vedatoi, and his knowledge, B'mash Yemapik Toivosoi, in order to be able to do the Toiva to the best way possible. In other words, you can do a Toiva, by the way, to a person in a better way, and you can do it in a shorter way. You're still doing him a Toiva. You can imagine if someone needs a loan of $10,000. Most likely the best way would be to do it. You tell them, come at a time when, you know, when during the day, you come at a time where it's easy to receive the money and it's easy to transport. Maybe I can wire it straight into his account. What about if you say to him, you know what, come 1 o'clock in the morning, he says, here's $10,000 cash, and the guy has to go home by himself to a dark alley. And it's a very... That's not the best way of giving stuff. You gave the $10,000. Make sure, if you do the toiv, make sure to do the toiv in the best way possible. That's what he means to say when he says, to be able to bring out the toiv in the best way. And then finally he says, Abu Ha'ikr. But the truth is, the root of the matter is, the main thing is, in other words, it, among all of the milas, if you want to trust someone, there's an ikr godel, there's a main nekuda. What is the ikr godel that you need? Which means it's so important that the miyipokeh, if it's missing, lo yimotze habitokeh. There's that, this nekuda that I'm going to mention, he's going to mention the nekuda, that there's a particular nekuda of all the milas that the person you're trusting in should have. There's an ikr nekuda that if he doesn't have it, then the whole bitokeh goes out the window. There's no room for trust in that person. He said, there's an ikr godel, again, avol ikr shebavura, he says. Yeah, I'll be talking and I'll be tayach. The yipoke, and if this item is going to be missing, lo yimotze habitochen, he says, then you realize that the bitochen, the klal, is non-existent. If this ikar ingredient is missing. And what is that? The question is, how trustworthy is a person regarding his word and keeping his word? Which means to say is, who? Sheyeh ligoy betuach, that you can comfortably be secure, be mishiyif tarboy, in the person that you're trusting, shiyakayim mashomar, they're going to fulfill what he says, beyasem mashomarev, and he will do what he promised, or if he's promised. And he points out, beyakshev olov hatoiv, he says, and he will even try to figure out what's good for you, b'mashaloi hisnaloi, loi orav asoiv, in order the type of a person will try to figure out how he can benefit you, even in those in yonah that he did not commit himself. That's what he's saying. V'loi orav asoyu, sheyaseyu nedovo v'chesed, that he will do it out of pure grace and kindness. The nekudas we're going to see, that the Chayyus Habavis is going to bring out, that obviously all of these things, people think you'll find them in human beings, you cannot find all these miles in human beings, only in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who has all of these attributes, and he's going to singly, he's going to point out, we'll do just one or two, maybe just the first one in days. We go in Perek Bay, we'll start, just as the start Perek Bay. And he points out, what are the reasons, he says, that people are prone to trust other people? What brings a person, what spurs a person on to want to trust other people? Well, just as human as you are. Why? He points out as follows. Ah, Hasibos, he says. The Sibos, he says, the reasons. There are seven factors, seven reasons that would make it possible for a person to place his trust in another person. One reason is because you believe that that person has compassion for you. You believe that he really feels for you, which is, you feel that the person has rachamim and chemlo v'ahavo. Because ki ho'odom, when a person really believes that someone loves him, have compassion for him, ki ho'odom ki shu yidei v'chaveri chumarachim v'choymolo, when you really believe and you recognize that a particular person has compassion and he has rachmonis on you, yiftach bo, so you tend to trust that person to do achnaf shoyolo, right? And you feel at ease, right? If that person is involved with you, v'chol ma shiyatricheyu minyonov, in any matter that you're going to trouble him, because you feel he's ready to do it. It's no trouble at all. You see, somebody's a real good friend. He said, I'm sorry to trouble you. Oh, it's no trouble at all. So if you feel that, this person really is out for your good, this person really has rachmanis on you, it says ahava. He loves you. Ahava. Truth is, the word ahava is a word that all too often is thrown around. Right? What ahava really means. And as Rav Elie Aplan says many times, the truth is, in most situations where you talk about love, loving someone, loving something, it's really all about loving yourself. A person says, I love fish. You really love the fish? Well, you love the fish, Rabbi Lepan. So how can you take a knife and a fork and you're sticking it right into that and stabbing it? The answer is, you love the fish means you love the pleasure that the fish gives you. But you don't love the fish. And unfortunately, this is only sometimes between human relationships. A person says, let's say, he has love for his spouse. So a philosopher once said, I'm not so sure, says, what do you mean? But I show affection to my spouse. So he said, no, you show affection because you derive pleasure in doing so. So that's what you get out of it. So ahava we're talking about here is really where a friend, ahava, means not he loves you for what he can get out of you. But the ahava really is ahava atzmis. He loves you for you. And this is the type of person that you would be prone. This is Aleph. This is the type of person that you would be prone to want to place your trust in him. This is number one, and then he goes to number two, number three, and so on and so forth. To point it out. So we're going to continue further with that, Hashem, next week. With other things, let me just end with just a very, very interesting situation. I have to know personally some of the people that were involved with this. Some of the people involved with this. It was in 2006, 2 years ago. A woman by the name of Mrs. Friedman. It happened in Toronto, Canada. It happens to be my hometown. I'm out of there more than 40 years, actually. It's not the same city at all. We used to say always, if Toronto would have been then what it is today, a lot of us would have possibly stayed. It's a totally different city. Now, Kuponim, so this Mrs. Friedman of Toronto, Canada, she was told by doctors that she needs a kidney transplant. And the kidneys were actually only functioning 17% of capacity. It's a very dangerous situation. And she had to either find a kidney donor or she had to begin regular dialysis. Let me just say, Agav, again, very happy to say that there is an organization that has been formed in Bar Park. I personally know a very dedicated Yungalite. It's because of the situation, of the personal situation of a person. I say personal means that particular person needed a kidney and so on and so forth, that brought him to start an organization. There's people all the time who are in dire need of kidneys. It's a life-saving situation. He set up an organization. You can see, you've seen the Jewish newspapers. It's called Renewal. It's called Renewal, and this is an organization with computers, with a database, mamish, with very professionally run, finding donors to give up kidneys, he says, for people who need it. Life situation. They once called me, they reluctantly agreed, because there's a lot of din and fashi shaylos, din kedima also, who gets the kidney first, and many of the shaylos, what happens if somebody gives a lot of money, and the organization needs money. Does that put him on top of the list? There are others before him. Very, very difficult childless. And so I'm involved with him a little bit. So interesting thing is that, so they advertise many times. What they told me also is that you can have a father who needs a kidney, and a son who's not ready to give up a kidney for a father. Listen, it's not a push bizarre, because both have to undergo an operation. Even though it's 100% safe in terms of you can live with one kidney, the statistics make that clear. That has been established. It's still feel uncomfortable. You have two kidneys, you live with one. By the way, they said, if you give up a kidney and Chazal show you're in trouble with the second kidney, you automatically go to the top of the list, they said, to get a kidney. That makes you feel better. But the situation on both sides, that you have to work it is, if the son does not want to give a kidney to the father, they don't tell the father, because it should not create
a machloikis or bad feeling that you tell the father is that your son is not a match for you. Because there has to be a proper blood type and so on and so forth. So you do whatever possible, you work behind the scenes. Because they do tremendous good things. So this particular woman, this little thing that she needed a kidney, together with her husband, reviewed that they were trying to find among the family. They couldn't find, it was not compatible with blood types because they couldn't find anyone. There's a Rav who I know in Toronto, the Rav of the Aguda there. They wanted to advertise in a newspaper. He said, listen, there's a lot of Yidden in the Toronto Jewish community. First, let's try to spread the word among the all the different shuls, among the Jewish community, and maybe somebody will come forward, you know, to donate a kidney. Lemaisa, they found a donor, and the transplant was scheduled. Less than a week before the date of surgery, he finds out that the donor was medically unfit. It was compatible, but if the person catches a cold or something like that, or they find out there's something else, because they have to have a full medical battery of tests, if they go to see if you're fit, but they don't have other problems. So even if you want to give a kidney, you may not be qualified. Don't push it like that. So it turns out that the person, I think, so again, so she needed a kidney. Turned out later, a few weeks later, that this Mrs. Friedman, her husband was asked to give a shiur, a small shiur for a group of 30 people in a particular house. The name of the hosts were the Lowy family, and the Lowy family. And the Mrs. Friedman herself didn't want to come. Her husband said, you know what, attend the shiur. Attend the shiur, you never know, attend the shiur. So the Maizu, she came. And the Maizu, with that decision, really changed her life, a profound change in her life, because after the shiur, people were socializing. So this Mrs. Friedman mentioned to someone that she's in desperate need of a kidney. She mentioned to someone. All of a sudden from the back, did you say you need a kidney? Someone cries out. It happens to be Mrs. Lowy herself was the hostess. So Mrs. Friedman goes over to the hostess and she says to her, yes, he says, I need a donor. He says, my kidneys aren't functioning. Maybe you know someone who would be willing to donate a kidney. And Mrs. Lowy says, yes, me, you can have mine. So it turns out that coming to this year, she found a donor. Okay, so she finds a donor. It works out at the hospital in Toronto, a hospital that's still going back to way back. It's called Toronto General Hospital. That's where they made the transplants. She underwent a lot of tests and so on. Actually, she was cleared. In other words, this Mrs. Lowy was cleared that she's able to give. She was cleared to give the kidney. So she consulted with her Rav. By the way, Rav is a Rabbi Weber. Rabbi Weber is a Rav of the Clanton Park Shul there, who happened to be in Bayside, here in Queens. Yeah, that's over there. Yeah, that she belonged to that. So they set out a date for the operation. The operation, in fact, they did the operation. Everything went well, and after the surgery, so this Mrs. Lowy, who was the donor, goes over to the recipient's husband. His name was Rabbi Yehuda. He happens to be an immigration lawyer. She says, "You know, I live here in Canada, but I need immigration papers. Maybe you can do me a favor. You're an immigration lawyer. You can work out. I have immigration papers." So he says, "What's the question?" He says, "You saved my wife's life." He says, "The least I could do is to try to work out some papers." So what's the situation? Whatever her case was. So Lemaisa, with all the red tape involved, he did everything possible with the authorities. And we were just on the verge of success. But Mr. Friedman, the lawyer, says to her, "There's one more thing," he says, "because the klal is that there's a requirement by Canadian law that any applicant for citizenship has to be tested that they're not carrying any contagious disease." So Mrs. Lowy says to Mr. Friedman, he says, "I can assure you," he says, "that I'm healthy, and you can get my family physician," he says, "who can clearly attest to the fact." And Mr. Friedman, the lawyer, says, "I'm sorry," he said, "it's not enough, because you need an examination by a doctor who's approved by Immigration Canada. You have to have a doctor like that." So, "Man, I know a woman doctor," she says, "because you're a woman, so I know a woman doctor, and she'll take care of you." She goes to the woman doctor, see the results of the lung x-rays. She calls down Mrs. Lowy and her husband for consultation. He says, "We found a spot on the lung. It was a very, very serious machlok that she was having. But after all the scans and everything else that they did, CT scans and MRIs and biopsies, within days she received a second opinion by a different doctor. Said, Mom says she was stage one lung cancer at the time. And of course, they were shocked and they were frightened by the diagnosis. She was operated in January 2007. The tumor was completely removed. Cancer was found in the early stages. There's no need for subsequent even chemotherapy and so on. Lemaisa, today, both women are healthy, enjoying full lives, which comes out thanks to Rahavas Yisrael, Rabbi Sai, of giving up a kidney. She not only saved somebody else's life, as a result of that, she saved her own life as well." See how Hashem works. The person, you see, that the brokers have to go for protests. in terms of Beter Bashem. So you do something for another Yid, and that in turn turns out to be the light that she saved, that was the source of saving her life.
Rabbi Shai, Beter Hashem, we'll work on the talking again.